Today's shiur is Masechta Maakot, Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Machnas Odnam Peroisav Mnei Aganovim. A person is allowed to Cholamoid when he's concerned that his fruit will be exposed to Ganovim, bring it into the home. Similarly, Shaila Pishtarim Menam Mishra Bishvil Shalai Tavid. He could pull his flax out of the water where it's soaking in order that they should not get ruined. However, the important condition is as long as he doesn't have specific intent that that he should do this work on Chol HaMoed, because the halacha is in all situations in kivnu malach d'memoed, if somebody left to do this work on Chol HaMoed, yoivdu, that work should be destroyed. The Farshim explain why does the Mishnah have to begin to teach us the halachas or davar of it. Mishnah wants to show us the contrast, that even though we're dealing with a situation of a real davar of it, his flax is getting ruined, the fact that he left it purposely to be done on Chol HaMoed is wrong, and we yoiv do we let it get destroyed if he did such a thing. A mechloikus rishonim, when the Mishnah says that yoivdu, that if you worked with something Chol HaMoed, it's destroyed, that means it's hefker. How does it work? Does it work that Beis Din has to officially be mafkrit? Beis Din has to declare it ownerless? Doesn't happen by itself? Or other Rishonim, and that's what the way it seems to Rashi learns, that automatically, because he worked on Chol HaMoed, it's yoivdu, they should be destroyed. Interesting Sfasemis. Sfasemis indicates that the issue, the amount that's going to be yoivdu, that's going to get destroyed, is only the benefit that was accrued on Chol HaMoed. In other words, if somebody worked on Chol HaMoed on repairing a table, and he knew from before Yontif that it needs to be repaired, and he purposely waited for Chol HaMoed. So the table had value before he worked on it, and only now has more value because he repaired it. So says the Sfasemis, only the extra amount is what we fine him, we make a knas. None of the basic value, that was there from before Yontif. The Rishonim also discuss, sometimes it's not possible to make a knas. In other words, if I have my own property, my own items that I saved and waited to Chol HaMoed to work on, so there Chazal could say that we make a knas, that it becomes hefker. But let's say someone left something of his by me. I'm a shoemaker, I'm a tailor, whatever, that I worked in someone else's item and I returned it, so the knas that our Mishnah refers to can't be given in that case. It's not mine and it's not by me anymore. And there the Paiskim say that it's the Beis Din's responsibility in every community to identify and determine what appropriate knas should be given under those circumstances. So we learned in the Mishnah that Machnas Odin Peresov Ne'egonovim, a person is allowed to take his fruit in. And Taisus makes a very important observation here. Taisus says that in carrying one's fruit from outside to inside, or from where it's not safe to where it is safe, there's really no malacha necessarily being done. It's not necessarily that I'm carrying it from Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or vice versa. Yet it's obvious that if not for the fact that it's a dover or ovid, it would be awesome to do such a thing in Chol HaMoed. Points out Taisvis that from here we see, and this is a concept that we've discussed previously, from here we see that on Chol HaMoed, the issue is not an issue of malacha. On Chol HaMoed, the issue remains an issue of tircha. What is considered a tircha, what's considered an exertion that's asr, and therefore carrying fruit, which is not necessarily a malacha, will be asr. However, the Brisa says, Uvad, he should try to do it in a quiet manner. He shouldn't carry it out publicly. So Rishonim ask, we've learned over the last couple of shiurim that when we're referring to a situation of a dover of it, Rabbi Yossi says there's no need for a shinui. And if there's no need for a shinui, we could do whatever we have to do. So therefore, ask the Rishonim, why does our Gemara say they have to do it quietly? it should be mutter completely. It's a davar avid. So I saw a number of approaches to the shaila in the Rishonim. One approach is that whenever we could do melacha and chol moed, even when melacha may be done, the din is it should be done in the most sinua, quiet way possible to uphold the kavod yontif. Another pshat that I saw is that when we're faced with a situation of a real davar ha'ovid, there melacha may be done on chol moed in a regular fashion. In our Mishnah's case, where someone's peiros are left outside and there's a concern that ganavim may take it, it's not a certain davar ha'ovid, it's a suffolk davar ha'ovid. If I leave it outside, ganavim may take it. When it's only a situation of a suffolk davar ha'ovid, there the halacha requires that it be done b'tzina. And the third approach, which is fairly similar to the previous approach, is that sometimes there's a concern of the item itself becoming ovid, becoming damaged. Like we learned in the previous year, where there were the different amoraim cut the grain of chalamoid, because there was a concern that the grain itself would get ruined because the climate, the weather changed. In a situation, however, where a ganavim may take these items that are left outside the fruit, there's nothing that's going to happen to the fruit. The fruit is fine. There's an external concern that ganavim may come and take it. When it's an external davar ovid versus an inherent davar ovid, there the halach is that it's supposed to be done b'tzina. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef havlek shurei. Rav Yosef had beams that were left outdoors, and there was a concern that they would be stolen. So Alinu b'yimama. So he carried it into the house on chol moed by day. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye asked him, "Vatanya, didn't we just learn Ovach yichnisim b'tzina b'toich beisoy? You're supposed to do it quietly. So how come you're carrying it by day?" Amalei tzina dahani yimamahu. It's more tzinua to carry it by day. Kivin, because were we to carry them in by night, the belayla. Bar Gavri Yisera, so it's night, it's dark, you'll need more people to help get carry them in. Or boy, Medukri the Duna, you're going to need torches to give light, so it's going to be Av Shemilsa, it's going to be very public. And therefore, I'm carried in by day. So what the Rishonim say, the Gemara is essentially saying is, you have to be smart. And you have to do it in the most tzenua way possible. Sometimes, doing it by day is more tzanua than doing it by night, which in that itself is machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say what he meant to say is, in this circumstance, day and night are the same, and therefore I could do it by day. Or he was saying, actually, that it's more tzanua to do it by day than to do it by night, and that's why I took them in by day. We learned in the Mishnah, v'shoyle pishtarim in a Mishnah. Somebody could take out his flax that was soaking in the water, it's a davar ovid. However, again, as the Mishnah indicated very clearly, it's only in a situation that he didn't have prior intent to do this in chol moed. Ask the Gemara, someone planned to do melach and chol moed, which our Mishnah just teaches us is osur, and not only did it teach us it's osur, but it also taught us that if one does it, it becomes his items become hefker, we take it away from him, or mace. And this person passed away. Mash yiknesu b'nav achrav. Do we fine his children? So the Rishonim point out, where Kivega quotes these Rishonim, that if Bezdin had already declared that these items were hefker, so the psak is in, and that the Gemara is not discussing. The Gemara's discussion here is that the father had worked with these items of Cholamoid, and before Bezdin made any declaration regarding these items, the father passed away. And now the question is, what is the status of these items? They don't belong to the father anymore. They belong to the son who didn't do anything wrong. Im Timtzaloim. So the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from another area of halacha. The halacha is that a bechor, the firstborn male animal, if there is a bechor, so bezman shebeis hamidrash hayakayim, was brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach, and it was essentially very similar to a carbon shlomim, and the kohen got different portions of it. However, if the Bechor becomes a Bamum or is a Bamum, then the Kayan keeps it as his own. So there's obviously a incentive for a Kayan to make a Mum on the Bechor. He'll have a live animal versus a few pieces of meat that he has to eat up in a short amount of time. So the halacha is, there's a lav. The Torah says, Mum la yebai. And the Gemara says that pasuk comes to teach us that you're not allowed to make a Mum and a Bechor. The halacha is, the Gemara says, Masechet Bechoros, that if a Kohen makes a Mum in a Bechor, we confiscate it from him. So ask the Gemara, Tzarim Oizem Bechor. A Kohen went and did damage to his Bechor, the animal that he received as a Bechor. So, and he dies before we could confiscate it from him. So the Gemara says that we find the son, we confiscate it from him too. The son didn't do anything wrong. So we see that the father was deserving of a fine. The son, although he didn't do anything wrong, has to live with that. So similarly, it should be the same thing here. Tsarm azabanoi, kansa benoi akrav. They find the son. So l'chayr, it's the same thing here. Says the Gemara, no, there it's different. Mishum de sura deraisa. There is an issue of issa deraisa making that mum. That's why Chazal were machmer. But our situation is a situation of a drabonon, and therefore we can't bring a proof from there to here. And again, the Rishonim point out, it seems that from here we have a raya, that working Chol HaMoed is only issa drabonon. Otherwise, how is the Gemara distinguishing between Chol HaMoed and Bechor? So, like Tosfos that says that working Chol HaMoed is drabonon, we have a great proof. According to Rashi, who says it's deraisa, the Rishonim say we're going to have to explain that even according to Rashi, not all situations is there issa deraisa to work with a Chol HaMoed. We've been learning, and we'll continue Be'ezer Hashem learning exceptions. However, there is never a heter to make a mum in a Bechor, and that's why the Isser by Bechor is a lot more than the Isser by Chol HaMoed. So Gemara attempts a different proof. The Gemara Masechta Gittin teaches us that if one has an Eved Kenani, and the Halach is that an Eved Kenani is obligated to do mitzvahs like a woman. Mitzvahs say she's man grama, they're exempt. All other mitzvahs, and certainly mitzvahs loisa say they're obligated in. Let's say one sold his Eved Kenani to a goy. So there are two dinim that the Gemara Masechta Gittin teaches us. One is that the halacha is that we have to redeem him. The owner who sold him has to redeem him, even at great expense, even 100 times more than he's worth. The Gemara uses that term. And the halacha is that if the Eved ran away from his new owner, we have to make sure that he stays away, because again, we don't want him to be by that non-Jewish owner that will prevent him from doing mitzvahs. So the halacha is, macha of the loy v'kachavim. If one sold his Eved agoy, umeis, and then he dies, konsa b'noi akrav. His son has these same rules. So the machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim explain the Gemara quite simply, that just like the father had an obligation to redeem the son, to redeem the servant, so too does the son. And so too, just like the father had an obligation that if the Eved ran away, he can't have him return to the non-Jewish owner, so too the son. But all the rishonim say that there's certainly no question that if the father died and the Eved is still by the non-Jewish owner, that the son certainly has to redeem the Eved. The question here is if he ran away. So the halach is that even though it's a din drabonon, the halach is konsa b'noi akrav. He has to make sure that Eved is out of the non-Jewish home, even though it's a drabonon, just like Chol HaMoed. So there too, it's not a proof. There is a concern, mishum de koyoy memafkalei memitzvahs. Every day, he's in the non-Jew's home, he can't do mitzvahs. So we have an obligation to get him out of that situation. But hochamai, what about this situation? Gavrikanus rabbanon, is it the person who did the aveira that worked at Chol HaMoed for halesa, and he's no longer here? Oidom memamoinikanus rabbanon, it's his money, it's the item that he worked on that we want confiscate for Ha'isei. Amalei, Tenesua, we learned this too. There's a Mishnah Masechta Shviz. The Mishnah says, Sodesh Neskaftza B'Shviz. of a field was, they took out the thorns. As we learned so much at the beginning of Masechta, we're not allowed to work on a field during the Shemitah year. If somebody cleaned up a field in the Shemitah year, even though he wasn't supposed to, Tizra L'Matzoi Shviyas, one may work on this field the year after Shemitah. However, in the Taiva, or in the Daira, Rashi explains the Taiva is both of these. The Daira means fertilized. The Daira means it was plowed, so, which was not allowed to be done. Their halach is, Loi Tizra L'Matzoi Shviyas. You're not allowed to work on this field, L'Matzoi Shviyas. Vamer Rav Yosef B'Chanina, and explaining this then says Rav Yosef B'Chanina, Naktinan, Hetiva. If someone worked on a field, he fertilized it, Umeis, and then he passed away, B'Noi Zaira, his son can work on that field. Now he inherited the field, he owns the field now, he can work on that field. What do we see from here? The day comes Rabban, it's he who did the Aveira, Chazal find, Lebrei, who did not do the Aveira, like comes Rabban, and Chazal did not find. They're not fine. It's interesting to note that Tosfos points out when the Gemara says the word neskaftza, Tosfos says neskaftza means they're taking out the thorns. The Tosfos says it only means thorns that are not connected to the ground anymore. Taking out thorns that are still connected to the ground is considered a malacha deraisa, and therefore if one would do that to his field during the Shemitah year, it would have the same halacha as the other dinim that the Mishnah says, and we would fine him that he would not be allowed to work in that field the year after. In fact, Tosfos makes a very interesting distinction. I think we might have mentioned this distinction already in this Masechta. He says the halacha is like this. On Shabbos, certainly one is not allowed to pull out thorns that are growing in one's field and his God. But let's say I pulled out thorns, says Tosfos, from somebody else's field. So when I do it in my field, my intent is to make my field better. And that's a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. On the other hand, if my intent was just to take out the thorns without any intent of bettering the field, it's osur, but it's not an issa d'oraisa, because it's not really a constructive act. Says Tosfos, that's a din in Shabbos. Because in Shabbos, as we've learned, intent is crucial. Malachas machshavas. In Shemitah, it's not intent that we look at. In Shemitah, we look at the act. So if one pulled out the thorns from his field, with no intent necessarily to make the field better, but the result is that the field is better now, even though that wasn't my intent, it would be an issa d'oraisa. And the question comes up, in the Shemitah year, and at Yisrael, let's say people have yards and gardens that they're not planting and they're not plowing, but they get full of overgrowth. It's a long year, the Shemitah year. If they clean out, especially if they pull out something that's growing from the ground, there's a real shaila. Michas Yitzchak discusses it, that there may be an issa d'oraisa involved. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Naktinon. We could prove again that we don't find the sun. The halach is like this, just a word of introduction. The halach is that we know there's a concept in halach of hezek, damage. If somebody does damage to someone else, he owes to pay the damages, as the Torah teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim, and we're going to learn, Baba Kama, Baba Metziah. The halacha is that a hezek she'ein a nikar, lo shmei hezek. If one damages, but it's not discernible, it's not visible, the damage, it's not considered that I did damage. What's a perfect example? We have someone's food. The food is tahar. And I go and I make that food tameh. In terms of loss, I caused this person real loss, because if the food was truma, it has to be burnt. If it was chulin, there are people that were makbid to only eat chulin that are tahar, and now this food is not tahar anymore. So it's certainly real financial damage. But when looking at this piece of food, it doesn't look any different now than it looked a minute ago when it was tahar. So it's a hezek shein nikar. And the halacha is that hezek shena nikar leishme hezek. The halacha doesn't consider that I did damage. However, Chazal made a knas, the timah teroisof, that if somebody makes someone else's food that's tar tameh, he has to pay the damages. But let's say the person who did it, mace, passed away, like konsul b'no akrav. His children aren't obligated to pay that fine. My tama, same reason. Really hezek shena nikar leishme hezek. just this person, even though halachically he didn't do anything that's considered a hezek, a damage, kanser rabbanon, the day kanser rabbanon, the one that did it, the brei who didn't do anything wrong, like kanser rabbanon. And again, the Rishonim point out this is only a bezdin had not yet already assessed damages. A bezdin already assessed damages, then the son is obligated to pay those damages. There's also another interesting machloikis. The Bi'ur Halacha discusses it. Here we're discussing a situation where the father on Chol HaMoed did do work before did plan to do work before Yontif, but the work that he did was actually a davar avid. So there's one good thing going for him and one bad thing going. The good thing is that it's a davar avid, and the bad thing is that he planned to do it on Chol HaMoed. But why will be in a situation where there's nothing good working in his direction? That means it was planned to do a Chol HaMoed, and it wasn't even a davar avid. So there are Rishonim that want to suggest that our Gemara's discussion will not be relevant, and that even in that situation, even the son, who really didn't do anything wrong, would have these items that were worked on Chol HaMoed confiscated. Says the Mishnah, Ein loichem batim avadim behema, on Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to buy houses, and servants, and animals, el tzarech HaMoed, only if these are items that are needed for Chol HaMoed use, or we want to do it because the seller doesn't have what to eat and he needs that income. And the Rishonim discuss, why does our Mishnah speak about buying? Why doesn't our Mishnah speak about, we've been learning that a davar avid is mutter. So the Rishonim point out, and this is used as a concept in halacha, that even when we discuss what may or may not be done in Chol HaMoed, there is a difference between doing business, which is a lot less of a shayla, than actual physical labor. That's why the Mishnah distinguishes and talks about loichim buying. But Tosfos points out, the point of the Mishnah is that even buying something like a house, an eved, an animal, which there's a lot of publicity around, if it's letzayra chamoyed, it's permissible. Barmenei Rav Rav Nachman. There's someone who's a worker who I have work in my house that I could give him. But certainly I have no right to do this work in Chol HaMoed because it's a situation where it's not a davar avid. That means I could use a painter in my house. My house needs painting, but I don't need to paint the Chol HaMoed. But this painter doesn't have any income. So he needs the money. Am I allowed to hire him a Chol HaMoed that he should be able to earn that money? He says, isn't that Shaila referred to in our Mishnah? The Mishnah ended off that we allow to give somebody who's selling something work because if he doesn't have what to eat. What does the Mishnah want to teach us with these last words, Lasuya Mai, of Enloi Mai Yoichel, Mai Lav Lasuya Schapola, that we want to give a worker some wages that he's missing? Amalei, so he said, that's not Pshat of the Mishnah. Perusha Kamafarish. The Mishnah is saying, when can I buy something from someone? It's when the seller needs the income. But there's no proof to a worker. And again, as we explained, because selling is a lot less of a malacha than actual doing work. Eisfei Abaya, we're going to learn a Gemara Masech in Daf Yud Ches, Ein Kois V'Shtar Choy B'Moid. We're not allowed to go to a professional writer to write out a loan document of Chol HaMoed. However, V'Meinim Aminai, let's say somebody needs to borrow from me money, and he won't trust me without a document, Oy She'en Loi Ma Yoichel, or if the person writing it needs it for income, Hareze Yichtoif, She'en Loi Yoichel Ma L'Suy Mai, what's the case? Lav Lasuya Schapula, that we want to be able to give this person some income. Shma Minah, from here we see that if our intent is to give someone income, it's permissible. However, I saw two interesting shailas based on this Gemara. One shaila is as follows. The Gemara is clearly telling us that I'm allowed to hire a worker to do something which would normally not be allowed to do Chol HaMoed if the worker needs the income. But all that I really did in this situation is I just hired the individual. I didn't do any work myself. But let's say, in me being able to give this worker work, I have to actually do something myself. Let's go back to the example that we gave earlier. I want to hire the painter, so he should have some income. But in order to paint, I have to prepare my home. I have to move the furniture, I have to do whatever else. Is the heter that our Gemara gives us applicable that far, that I'm not only allowed to pay and ask him to work to give him income, but I'm actually even allowed to do work that perhaps I normally should not be allowed to do, just again with the goal of being able to help this individual get some income, or that far it's not mutter. Rosh Shlomo Zalman discusses the Shaila, and he says that it's not mutter to work just to be able to help somebody get income. Then the Shaila comes up, when we discuss Tavar of it, is let's say someone owns a factory, he owns a business, and he has workers. And if he's going to close Chol Hamoed, it's not a Dover of it. The person, it's not Tzarech Hamoed, all the various Hatayim we've been learning aren't applicable. But his workers, he's going to have to pay wages for that week. They don't want to take vacation. Of course, the best thing all Pais can say under those circumstances is try to work out an arrangement with your employees that they should take that week as vacation. But it isn't always doable that you could force an employee to take vacation when you want him to take vacation. So the question is that considered a davar ovid that you're going to have to pay all those wages and the business and not have your business open? Again, we're dealing with a situation where the person could financially absorb that kind of a circumstance. So I saw machloikus. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that that's not considered a davar ovid. And certainly one cannot keep his business open just because he's going to have to pay wages anyway. The Marshag is more makel, and he perhaps says that it would be mutter. It's interesting, he adds in another dimension in that tshuva. He adds a dimension that if you're a person that keeps your business open and you're gift stalker and you support family members who are in yeshiva learning Torah, perhaps that's another reason that you could be allowed to do it. Masa Rav Sheshes. Ask Rav Sheshes on this Gemara. There's Gemara Masechta Pesachim. There are two ways of explaining this Gemara in the Rishayim. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Perek Makom Shenagu, discusses if one may work on Erev Pesach. So Gemara says that certain places there was a minig not to work Erev Pesach. Says the Mishnah, there are three professions, even a place where they don't work Erev Pesach, because no one works after Chatzos, even a place where they work till Chatzos, these three jobs may be done in such a place till Chatzos, even though no other jobs are done. Others explain that even the man da'omer that says that you're allowed to work on Erev Pesach, or where there's a minig, that you're allowed to work on Erev Pesach till Chatzos, new work can't be initiated. These things may be initiated. What are they? Hachayotim, tailors, sfarim are barbers, vakaifsim are people who do cleaners. Hachayotim. So the Gemara explains that why are we makel with these three professions? She can hedjit kaif kedark b'chol shamayit. A hedjit, anyway, could sew in Chol Hamoed. So we see that sewing has a heter. Hasfarim v'kaifsim. She can aboim v'medinim sayom. If someone wasn't here before Yontif, or Yotzim b'chasurim, we'll learn this more in Mitzvah Shem, the next staff. Hasurim, that all normally one may not take a haircut or do laundry Chol Hamoed. Mutarim l'sap v'chapiz b'chol shamayit. These individuals may. Ask the Gemara, v'sal k'daitach. Then we're always allowed to hire someone who doesn't have what to eat. So then why are we limiting these three professions? That everything should be allowed to be done in our Pesach. Because conceptually, everything can be done in Chol Hamoed, because everybody may be in a situation that he needs the money to survive. So ask the Karen Ira. The Gemara could ask the easier question. We've been discussing for the last week that anything that's a dover of it is mutter on Chol Hamoed. So Gemara should have asked, why is the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim limiting it to these three professions? The Mishnah should have said, everything may be done in Erev Pesach, because everything conceptually can be done on Pesach if it's a dover of it. Answers the Karen Ira. That we learned this week, a machloikus Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the man the Omer that says that a davar ovid, we could do whatever we need to do. Rabbi Yehuda held that even in a situation davar ovid, the mishnayis that we learned the last few shurim, it's only with a shinui. So the Gemara didn't want to ask for him davar ovid, because davar ovid is not a clear-cut heter. But tzcha pula l'mish elay ma'yoychel is a full-fledged heter. And that's why the Gemara asks, if it's a full-fledged heter, why don't we allow everything to be done in Erev Pesach? Maskel Rapapas, Rapapas takes it a step further. If you want to take this line of reasoning, Elamat the Binyan Lishtri, we should allow to be allowed to build Erev Pesach. Because as we learned on Dav Zayin, Sheken Kaisal Agoyel Rishus Rabim, if there's a wall that's falling down into Rishus Rabim, we learned Soysu Bonner Kadaka Bnei Sakana, Achal Mai, we could demolish it and build it. Maskel Ravina, Ravina goes a step further. Elamat the Lif, you should be allowed to do any writing on Erev Pesach, because as we're going to learn on Daf Yud Ches, Shekain Kaisvim Git Kedushay Noshim Gitim V'Shayvrim, all these writing, this all may be written in Chol Hamoed. El Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, the entire premise of the question is flawed, because Moed Arba Asa Karamis, we're trying to compare Chol Hamoed to Erev Pesach. It's a different concept altogether. Moed, the issue is Mishum Tircha, as we've learned at the beginning of this year. On Chol Hamoed, Tircha is Asr. Or B'makom Seder, Shor Rabbanan. Under certain circumstances, Chazal said, we're not worried about Seder. Abba Asr, it's nothing to do with Tircha, Seder. The concept is Mishum Tzorich Yontifu. What is allowed to be done? Something that's necessary for Yontif. Maybe the Tzorich Yontif, Shor Rabbanan. The last Tzorich Yontif Lo Yishar Rabbanan, so you can't compare it because it's a different concept altogether. Says the Mishnah, Eim Efanim Mibayis Labayis, we're not allowed to move items from one house to another house. Eim Efanu L'chatzeroi, but you are allowed to move from your house to the Chatzer. And the Gemara will discuss this more. Eim Evim Kehem Beis Umen, similarly in Chol Hamoed, we're not allowed to pick up items from a craftsman that was working with the Kalim. But let's say I'm concerned, and the Gemara will explain this also more, that leaving it there, I may end up losing. That means, let's say he demands payment. So I'll pay him. And I'll say, you know what, I'll pay the cleaners, and I'll leave it there. And then he comes after Yontif, and he's concerned that this person is going to say, the fact that it's still here is a proof that you didn't pay me. So he doesn't want to leave it there. So the halacha is he could take it out, but not leave it, but not take it all the way home. Leave it in the first safe place you can leave it. Tosfos quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. Tosfos quotes that the Yerushalmi says that even though our Mishnah says you're not allowed to move items from one place to the other, but let's say someone was able to buy a new home. He's allowed to move a Chol Hamoed, says the Yerushalmi. Why? He says if somebody was till now living in a rented home, and now he lives in a home that he's going to own, it's a wonderful simcha that now you can have your own home. And therefore, you can move on Chol Hamoed. And many of the Rishonim take that Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes a step further. Let's say you're not necessarily moving from a rented apartment to a owned home, but you're moving from a small apartment to a big apartment, which is also wonderful. Perhaps you should be allowed to do it Chol Hamoed, which is unbelievable. According to Tosfos, with the Yerushalmi, we could start moving a Chol Hamoed. Who moves to a worse apartment? However, I saw a tshuva from the Debrei Tzina Rav that says that this heter, it's Stam Ashayla, this heter is not necessarily quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. But even if the heter is a real heter, says the Debrei Tzina Rav, it doesn't apply nowadays. He says a very interesting reason. He says, in those days, moving wasn't such a big deal because people didn't own that much to move. They didn't have that much clothing. They didn't have that much furniture. So moving wasn't such a big job. He says, nowadays, when we move, you know, we have to take a truck or more than one truck. Moving is a very big ordeal and certainly may not be done in Chol Hamoed, even if you're moving from a rented apartment to an owned home. Says the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Ein mefanu mebayis lebayis. And then the Mishnah says, mefanu lechatzeira. How do we reconcile this? From one house to another house in different chatzeres, we may not move. From a house to another house in the same chatzer, under certain circumstances, it is move. There's also another interesting tshuva I saw based on this Mishnah. There's a very interesting chazanish, which I don't know too many people that are machmer for this chazanish. Chazanish said that just like on Shabbos and Yontif, one has to be careful. There's not Shabbos for sure, but even Yontif, one has to be careful not to carry what he doesn't need to carry. Only Eichel Nefesh, maybe you're only allowed to carry what you need on Yontif. So he says, Chol Hamoed is the same. He says, carrying is certainly a malacha. It's the first malacha we discussed in Masechta Shabbos. So Chazanish used to check his pockets on Chol Hamoed before he went out, if he's not carrying anything that he doesn't need to carry. Says, I saw there's really a Me'iri that says that there's no Issa to carry. And the way we've been explaining Hilchas Chol Hamoed works, because Chol Hamoed is not a concept of Malacha. Chol Hamoed is a concept of Tircha. So carrying keys in your pocket that you don't need is not a Tircha. But the Me'iri says, and that's what the Me'iri says, and Rav Ozna, the Shas HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, brings a proof from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah discusses that you're not allowed to move from one house to another house, because there is a Tircha, but from the house to the Chatzar, it's not a problem. If you're not allowed to carry, why doesn't the Mishnah discuss the issue of the Malacha of carrying? So we see clearly that carrying is not necessarily a factor in Malachas and Hilchas Chol Hamoed. Ve'emavim kerem be'sumen. Amra Papa. Bladuk lan Rava. Rava gave his Talmidim an examination. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, emavim kerem be'sumen. We're not allowed to carry something from the Beis HaUmen on Chol Hamoed. Verminu, asked the Gemara, Malichim, Avim, Kelim, Beis Uman, on Erev Pesach, we can take and bring different things from the Uman's house, Vapishin, Tzorach HaMoyed, Vashininle. And how do we respond to this question? Tambar Basa, like we learned in the previous Gemara, Erev Pesach is not the same as Chol Hamoed. So Erev Pesach we may, Chol Hamoed we may not. Iba Yisema, another way of reconciling this price to our Mishnah, Hava Hava Chol Hamoed. Kambam Minoy, if I trust the person, so I can't carry it away from his home on Chol Hamoed. But I mean, if I don't trust him, I could take it. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, it's not a kasha, I'm saying, Vatanya is a raya. It says, Mavin came a base woman. We're allowed to pick something up from the base woman. He going kad, base a kad or a jug, the kois, base a zagog, it's a glass cup, avaloit semer base a tsever, veloit kalem base woman, vimein loy my yoichel, if I need to pay this craftsman. He needs the money that I owe him for his work. I pay him. But let's say I don't trust him. Like we learned in the Mishnah, if I leave the item there, he'll ask for payment again. Or another example the Rishonim give. That let's say once I pay him, he has no need to properly watch these items because he has nothing to lose anymore. I already paid. And we're concerned that he won't protect them adequately. Then I should take it out, but leave it in the closest home. If there's nowhere to leave him that I feel safe, I could take him home. So we see that I could bring it home under certain circumstances. And that's the difference between our Mishnah and our Braisa. You could bring it home when you need to, otherwise you may not. Ask the Gemara, Teratz Mavim. We were able to reconcile the contradiction. Here it says you are allowed to bring it home, and here it says you're not allowed to bring it home. But there's another question. Malichin Kasha. There's a different, if you're allowed to take it. The Tani, and our Mishnah says, Eimavim, you're not allowed to pick it up. The Koshkin, Shem Malichim, you're certainly not allowed to bring it. A Chol Hamoed. Yet in the Brice it says that you are allowed to. How do we reconcile that question? Al Machfatik, Kedishneim, and Karan, we have to go back to our original answer, which was that we draw a distinction between Erev Pesach and Chol Hamoed. Erev Pesach, I'm allowed to bring something to the cleaners, or to the craftsmen, whatever the situation is. A Chol Hamoed, we may not. Says the Mishnah. Mechapin esa ketzios bekash. We're allowed to cover up figs that are being left out to dry with straw. Vihudoima af ma'avin. We'll see what that means, but he can make it even thicker. Moichre peris ksus vekalim. People who sell all of these different items. Moichim betzina. They're only allowed to sell quietly. L'tzarech hamoed, and only they can't be public about it. The Gemara is going to give some examples, and it has to be l'tzarech hamoed. So the Rishonim explain, when the Mishnah says here Moichrei Peris, it's referring to a situation that somebody's like in a wholesale business. So if I see him open on Chol Hamoed, the concern is that the Peris that are being sold not only for Yontif. People buy a huge lot of Peris. You don't need that much Peris for Chol Hamoed. But what's going to be the halacha if somebody has a retail store? Well, people who generally walk into retail stores just buy small amounts. That's not what the Mishnah is discussing. Ritvaz Vart. Says the Mishnah further. Hatsayodim, people that catch. Vadashoysus, Vagorsus. We'll explain this in the Mishnah. Gemara. Oysim etzina, Lutzarech Hamoed. Vyoysi Oymer, Heinach Miralatzman. Says the Gemara. Pliga bar Abchia bar Abba v'Rab Asi. There's Machlokes Abchia bar Abba versus Rav Asi. Tvai Mishmei de Chizkiya, both what did Chizkiya hold? Chad Amar, once said the definition of mechapin is a klushi, to cover it up sparsely, and ma'avin is to cover it up a smuchi, a thicker, heavier layer of covering. Chad Amar, another one says the definition of mechapin is bein a klushi, bein a smuchim, both a sparse or a heavy covering, and ma'avin is oisner esek mekri, which is even more of a malacha, piling it up. Tanya nami hachi, and we learn a brisa corroborating this position. Ma'avin, oisner esek mekri, div Rabbi Yehuda. So clearly we see the definition of ma'avin is making a pile, and mechapin, you're allowed to cover it anyway, both thick or thin layer. Ma'achri peiris ksus v'kelem, ma'achri mitzirim. Rav Yossi Omer, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, hey mechmir al atzman. So now the question is, what does Rabbi Yossi mean with these words? Ibailahu. Does Rabbi Yossi mean, hey nechmir al atzman, the le avdi klal, that they didn't do any type of selling of these items? Adumma, dava avdi betzina, which means as follows. According to the first explanation of Rabbi Yossi's position, the Tanakhama allows these things to be done betzina. And Rabbi Yossi says, even though it's allowed to be done betzina, they went and with machma, they did nothing. According to the second position, it's just the opposite. The Tanakhama holds halachically it's required that these items be sold b'tzina. And Rabbi Yossi said it's not a halacha, it's not required, it was just a chumrah. So the difference of versions is Rabbi Yossi a mekel or a machmer. Tashma. Meichrim psus v'kelim, meichrim b'tzina l'tzarech hamayit. They sell it quietly. Rabbi Yossi Omer, tagit tferya heimachmir al atzman shloyech. So we see clearly what Rabbi Yossi means is that they don't do it at all. Sadi chayis v'oifus v'dogim, sadi b'tzina l'tzarech hamayit. Rabbi Yossi Omer, sadi akim, Akko, the people that lived in Akko, henachmir al atzman shloyech tzoyden kol ikam. The shushi, we spoke in the Mishnah about the shushi, what does that mean? Chilke tag v'tisni, again we'll explain this in a moment, doshim v'tzina L'tzar chamayit. They're allowed to do this activity. L'tzar chamayit. Rav Yossi Omer, the shushi tzpari, henachmir al atzman, shlai dash in kalikar, they're not allowed to work with the grain, with the wheat at all. So now the Gemara goes on to explain what this the shushi means. Omer bai chilko, eschad latati, taking each grain, and splitting it into two. Targus, eschad latlas, splitting it into three. Tisni, eschad l'arba, splitting it into four. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Omar Kunsa. It has nothing to do according to his understanding of splitting. It just means taking off the peel of spelt and getting a just to have the smooth grain. Meisvei asked the Gemara. Chilk, it says in the Mishnah Masech the Machshirin. Chilk a targus v'tisni t'mein b'kamakam. The Mishnah over there draws a distinction between grain which is processed in the cities, where people are careful to process it properly, and therefore they always wash it before they process it. And as we've learned so many times, food, once it becomes susceptible, once it becomes wet, becomes susceptible to tuma. So in the city, it's always mekabel tuma. In the villages, they weren't that professional. They didn't always expose it to liquid, and therefore it wasn't mekabel tuma. Says the Mishnah Masechta Machshirin, Chilke Targus V'Tisni, Tamein B'Kamakim. There is no difference between the city and the villages. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'man Dama Chod L'Tarti L'Tlas L'Arba, that the definition of these things is just how many times they're chopped up. Bishlamachim Tamein B'Kamakim. How do you make them able to be broken? You have to let them soak. So that's why the Tamei, whether it's the city or the village. El Mandam Kuntzen, but according to the Mandam, that it means that you take off the peel, a might may become mokum. Halay is kasher. In the village, we don't necessarily do such a professional job. So they weren't open to liquid. So why are they necessarily susceptible to tuma? Says the Gemara, Kigoin, the Mikkelsen, we want to take off the peel, and the Elav, the Sharlu B'maya, if we don't first soak it in water, we'll have a Mikkelsen. We can't peel off the peel. And my currently chilka, and why is it called chilka? If it means taking off the peel, the shokul chilkayu. What happens is when you take off the peel, you're left with the grain, which is a smooth grain. Meisrei asked the Gemara, Hanoidim and Adogun, says the Masech Nedarim, if Sonny makes a nether that he won't have enough from grain, Os Apapul Hamitzri Yovish, he's prohibited to eat Pul Mitzri Yovish, Umutta Balach, he's allowed to eat moist, Umutta Ba'iris, Bechilke, Beturgis, Betisni, he's allowed to eat all these things, they're not considered Dogun. Bishlama, Mandam Chodul Tati, Chodul Tlas, Chodul Arba, Shaper. I can understand. Once they're cut up, they're not considered grain. They're already considered like a cereal, in our word. The nafka mitaris dogim. Eleman da omer kunsa, that it's just taken off the peel, dogim el yahu, it's still considered dogim. So why are you allowed to eat chilka if you made a nether that you're not allowed to eat dogim? Says the Gemara Kasha. That remains a question. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna shol lahani karfaisa, he allowed these people that sold herbs and spices, lemezel azuvni kurchai b'shuka. They were allowed to sell in the normal fashion on Chol Hamoed. Eser of Kahana, chanus psuch l'stav. A store should not be open on Chol Hamoed in the regular way. If it's open only to an area where it's benches, not to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, paseach v'noyel kedarkoi. Since it's not open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it can be opened and closed that way in Chol Hamoed. Psucha, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But if the store has an entrance right into the Shus Rabbim, the halacha is Paseach Achas V'Noel Achas. Don't open your store a regular way. Interesting halacha. If somebody has to open up a store in Chol Hamoed, perhaps just open the door, don't open the gates. The Erev Yom Tov Akron Shel Chag. What about Erev, the last day of Chol Hamoed, which is Erev Yom Tov? As Machloikus Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean here? Doesn't mean Erev Shmini Atzeres. Or Rishonim say it certainly means Erev Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres was a big yontif, and they used to have parties and feast. So certainly it's Erev Shmini Atzeres. Is the same halacha reply to the last day of Chol Hamoed for the last days of Pesach? Most Rishonim say it does. Might seem at a shukei ir b'peiris. We're allowed to do everything we want. B'shvil kov yontif achren. So we see you can't just sell normally, yet he sold spices. When you're selling something like fruit, it's not obvious that you're selling it for Chol Hamoed, because fruit lasts even after Chol Hamoed. But spices used to lose their taste. So when you sell spices, it's obvious that you're selling it with Tzorich Yontif, and they may be sold on Chol Hamoed in a regular fashion. I saw interesting Shiloh, Shlomo Zalman discussed the Shaila also. He was saying that in Chol Hamoed, we're allowed to do whatever is necessary for the second day's Yontif. What's going to be in Halacha if there's a Jew in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif? He's keeping 8 days of Yontif, Pesach. He's keeping Simchas Torah. The person who's cooking and baking for him on Chol Hamoed, not just for the day of Yontif that he also keeps, is cooking for him for a day that's not Yontif for him. So you're not allowed to cook on Chol Hamoed for after Yontif. Could a Jew from Eretz Yisrael cook on behalf of a Jew from Chutz Laaretz, that for him it's Yontif, for the Chutz Laaretz Jew it's Yontif, and for Eretz Yisrael it's not Yontif? The Shlomo Zalman said that this is included in the heter that our Gemara uses. That on Yontif, Chol Hamoed, that anything that's Tzarech Yontif, and this person that's cooking is a Tzarech Yontif, for me it's going to be Yontif, it's permissible. Hanu l'ch mishapach, hanu l'ch mishapach, hanu l'ch mishapach.